Thank you. That day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation that keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord God is everlasting strength. I just read to you from Isaiah chapter 26. This is John Thrasher. And I sure look forward to sharing these 30 minutes of morning devotions with you. And I trust that during the course of this broadcast, the Holy Spirit will impart peace, heaven's peace, into your troubled heart and mind and emotions. Not some make-believe peace, but genuine peace. You know the difference? Genuine peace comes through repentance, through release, through the breaking of the shackles and the bondages that hold us. True peace comes when we make things right with God. That's the kind of peace of which Jesus spoke in John chapter 14. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now the false peace comes when there is no repentance, there is no forsaking of sin, there is no desire to make things right with God. You just want your nerves to settle and your emotions to straighten out. You have no intention of changing your behavior or your lifestyle or your way of living your life. But in the midst of all your sinning, you do want ease and peace and quiet. And soft music will bring it. Candlelight will do it. Moonlight will do it. Soft words, easy words will do it. But that's a false peace. King Saul received a measure of peace when David would play on his harp before him and the evil spirit would leave him and he would enter into a mental state of tranquility and peace. But it only lasted for a short time, and then he would go out of his head again and toss his javelin at David because of his jealousy and his rage. His peace was short-lived. I don't want the fake and that peace and tranquility that is a farce, a make-believe. I want the peace that comes from heaven through repentance, through turning from my sin unto the living God. A peace that comes when we know there is nothing between my soul and the Savior. That's the peace of which Jesus speaks. That's the peace of which the New Testament proclaims. When we know there is nothing between our soul and the Savior. I'm not talking about living perfect lives and sinless lives. You know better than that. All of us are human, and every single day we falter and fall short of the glory of God. And every day It is necessary for us to become emptied of self and filled with God, emptied of everything that is negative and dirty and unclean, and filled with everything that is positive and beautiful. But what I am talking about is that we have a heart for God that consistently desires to do God's will. And even when we do fall and stumble, we don't stay down, but we cry unto the Lord and say, God, help me. Forgive me my sins. I want nothing between you and me. Lord, flush me out, wash me, cleanse me. I'm talking about that daily cleansing that comes when we live in the presence of God. You know what I mean? That daily cleansing and washing. Just like the laver of washing was situated there before the priest would go into the tabernacle to worship. It represented a daily cleansing. We need that daily washing that we find in God's Word, that we find when we are in fellowship with the Lord. And when we have that daily cleansing, then we can find a peace that is genuine. It's not make-believe. Otherwise, it'd be like going to the dentist and you've got a tooth that needs to be drilled out and all the corruption, the decay taken out before it is filled. And if the dentist doesn't do that, he just takes a shortcut and he leaves all the decay in there and caps it with silver or gold and just covers it up. Well, that's no good because you'll lose the tooth. So it is in our lives. We can just gloss over our mistakes and our sinfulness. And through listening to good music or listening to someone speak softly, we can find a measure of peace and tranquility. Or sometimes through the taking of medication and tranquilizers, find some ease. Not that the decay was ever taken out. It's just capped over with something easygoing and sweet and nice. That won't do it. In order for you to have true peace, the decay has got to be taken out. We've got to repent of our sins, make things right with God. And then the peace that comes will be heaven's peace. And that's what I want. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul, and know that God is God. Oh, friend, let's walk with Him today, shall we? Let's walk with Him genuinely.
We walk.
For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, "This is the rest by which ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." Yet they would not hear. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people who are in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, "We have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Justice also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it." Well, this is in Isaiah chapter 28, and it goes right along with what I was saying earlier, how that many a person receives a measure of peace without making things right with God. I mean, they live ungodly, unholy lives. They live in their sins and their immoralities, retaining all their bad habits, and have no wish or desire or thought of changing their lifestyle or the way of living. And yet, through soft music and candlelight and moonlight and poetry and some soft, easy voice speaking to them, they can find a measure of tranquility or maybe they can take some tranquilizer and ease their emotions and their nerves without making things right with God. All that kind of peace is a lie. It's deception. It's a bed that's too short. It's a covering too narrow. And when the day of judgment comes, it will not suffice. Not when you make lies your refuge, and under falsehood you hide yourself. Only Jesus is our hiding place. Isn't that true? I believe it with all my heart. Nothing else will do it. Only in Christ is my true hiding place. And yet Romans 10 verse 3 says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." It is possible to have some self-manufactured righteousness and peace, and to say all is well, when indeed all is not well, because you're not living life God's way and according to His book. And He's the one who sets the rules. No one is allowed to make up his own rules and establish his own measurements in anything. Certainly not in morality. Certainly not in anything in this world. You're not allowed to make up your own rules as you go along. Without guidelines, standards, rules, you can't even play ball, much less live a life pleasing to God. I mean, in baseball, the rule says strike three and you're out. And you can argue with the umpire all you wish. It won't do a bit of good. Strike three, you're gone. You're out of there. In football, you have four plays to make a touchdown. And after four plays, you're finished. The ball goes to the other team. Unless in the course of those four plays you make enough yardage to get a first down. But there are rules you've got to go by. And no amount of arguing with the referee is going to change that. Well, that's in ball playing. Certainly in morality you've got to have rules. Isn't it peculiar that people who live in this world, who recognize the fact that you've got to have rules, otherwise you're going to have anarchy and chaos. Even a nation has got to have laws. You can't even drive a car without keeping regulations and rules. I mean, you can't just at a whim run through a red light. One of these days you're going to get caught. You've got to abide by the rules. But isn't it funny that those people who recognize the fact that in order to live in this world, in order to play games, in order to hold down a job, it is necessary to go by guidelines and standards and rules. But then those same people, when it comes to morality, they say there are no rules. Live and let live. Do whatever you want to do. How ridiculous that is. How ridiculous. There are guidelines that we have got to go by in living out our lives. The old saying, you can live life the way you please. Do what you want to do. Just doesn't add up. It won't do it for you. You're going to make shipwreck. You're going to suffer the consequences, the tragic consequences. And when I say you, I'm talking to me too. I'm included on all this. If we live life our way without God's standards and His rules and principles, we're going to be losers. Did you ever see a wall built without the use of a plumb line? You see the wavy lines in it? You've got to use a plumb line if you're going to build a wall. That's all there is to it. Isaiah 28 says, justice also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Not only do you build natural walls with the use of a plumb line, but you build your own life according to God's plumb line. Measurements have got to be exact, even in building a house. Measurements have got to be exact, and certainly in building our lives, measurements have got to be exact. In ancient times, a cubit was measured from elbow to the end of the fingertip. And I suppose that was sufficient back in the old days, but nowadays things have got to be more exact. And they tell us that a yard equals 9,144 ten-thousandths of a meter. And a meter, they say, by international agreement in 1960, was defined as being 1,650,763.73 wavelengths of the orange-red light produced by artificially excited atoms of krypton 86. Whatever all that means, it equals a meter, and it is exact. Nobody who is a merchant in business can decide for himself how much is an inch, or what is a yard, or how much is a pound. There are exact measurements and weights to go by. And you know what? Nobody, according to their own measurements and weights, can decide what is right for themselves. There is a standard we go by. You know what it is? Of course you do. Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light into my path. Thy word. Oh, thank God we are not left without a compass, a guide, a true sense of direction. We have God's word to show us the way clearly. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. Yes, it's important to live our lives according to God's standards. This isn't a figment of my imagination. I don't decide for myself what I can do and what I can't do. I have got a light to guide me. And it is God's precious word. I need to read this word. I need to hide it in my heart. and know what thus saith the Lord. I tell you, there are a lot of voices ringing out loud and clear all around us today that would lead us in a totally different direction. Hollywood preaches its own message. Liberal ministers preach their own message. The sensual world around us convey their own thoughts. We need to read God's precious word and hear the Lord say, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." Oh, friend, do you love him? Does Jesus mean everything to you? Let's read his word. Let's be guided by his standards and rules and guidelines. And that's not legalism. That's true freedom and liberty. Oh, the joy of the heart when we know that all is well between us and God. Nothing like it, is there? Let's worship the Lord today.
Past, Jesus is Lord of all. I've quit my struggles, contentment at last. Jesus is Lord.
Well, dear friend, I've enjoyed being with you. Why don't we pray together here at the close of the broadcast? Dear Lord, we do want you to be Lord of all. We want nothing in our life unsurrendered to our God. If there be any sin, any habit, any action displeasing to you, Lord, forgive us, cleanse us, wash us, make us as white as the driven snow. We give our hearts to you fully and completely. Give us the strength to be what you want us to be. In Christ's name, amen.
King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all. Above my possessions and all my life,
has risen from the dead and